Our text for this morning is the Old Testament reading, Job chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. Dear Christian friends, these are beautiful words from the book of Job. But if you have read the long book of Job, you know that much of it does not sound so beautiful. Job is grieving the death of all his children. He is terribly sick. He is depressed. And he is miserable when he is visited by four of his friends. That's the kind of thing that friends do. But when his first friends first came, they cried with him. And then they sat silent for 7 days and seven nights in the dust with him. That's showing compassion, suffering with him. But then they started talking with him about why he is suffering, trying to help him to understand it all and giving him some advice. But as sometimes happens, even when giving friendly advice, it didn't make Job feel any better at all. But even though he doesn't think they understand, or God understands, in these verses, he still expresses confident hope that even though those visiting him are not such good friends, he does have what young people today would call a BFF, a best friend forever. Jesus is that friend who is compassionate, who suffers with us, who is understanding, who is helpful and loyal. He is a forever friend. Often calling someone a best friend forever can be a hyperbole, a bit of an exaggeration. Even if we don't lose touch and they never move away, they still die. And we die. And so that's not forever. But here, Job affirms that we do have one who is more than a friend. In fact, who is a redeemer, who is one who is forever, because he doesn't stay dead. And because of him, we don't stay dead forever either. What we see is that we can make nothing last forever, but our Redeemer comes at the last and lives at the last for us, so that at last we can see God for ourselves. Let's think first about how we can make nothing last forever. Job says, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever." What do you do if you want to record something forever? Well, you probably have in your closets some things that you wanted to be recorded and remembered and passed on to posterity. Depending on your age, they may be recorded on 8mm movies, or maybe a VCR tape, or a cassette tape, maybe a DVD, or a memory stick. Good luck with any of those in 100 years. That's the problem with forever. Things keep on changing. For saving things, Job's technology of writing things down is probably as better than anything else. His words are among the oldest that have ever been written down that we still have. This is the oldest book in the whole Bible. But language changes. This language that the book was written in is so ancient that some of the words, we don't even know what they mean anymore. One reason Job's words have been preserved, however, is not just because they were in fact written down, they were not written on rock, but because they were memorable. And so they ended up being inscribed on people's hearts because of their powerful message. Well, we may like to preserve things in life, such as our savings, our property, our health, but even though these things are hard to preserve for long, they're impossible to preserve forever. But another concern we have is not just preserving the things we have, but who we are. We would like to hope that we will have the immortality of being remembered by people. We may hope that this happens as we are engraved on the hearts of friends or family members. None of this was going so well for Job. What he had was not lasting. At the beginning of the book, he loses all of his property, and then all of his children, and then his health. All he has left is his wife, his friends, and God. And he's not getting along well with any of them either. His wife, tired of seeing his misery, suggests he simply curse God and die. His friends keep trying to explain to them that since God is surely righteous, surely he has done something to deserve this suffering, and he would be better off if he would just admit it. Job keeps insisting that's not true. This is all unfair. And he wishes that he could make his case before God in person, except that God seems so far away. One of the reasons that what we have doesn't last is simply that things decay over time. That's caused by the elements, by bacteria and microbes that are everywhere, too small to see. In fact, it's been found that our bodies contain millions of microbes that are simply part of who we are by nature. Who we are is also ruined by decay. To a degree, Job's friends were right. We all do things that deserve suffering, even if, like Job, we can't point to any specific special sin. It's because of the sin that's a natural part of all of us. That's what makes us die. That's what corrupts relationships. That's what makes us spiritually allergic to God so that we can't stand His holy presence. But although Job's friends may be partly right, they're of no help. Our only help, Job recognizes, is that our Redeemer lives at the last for us. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last He will stand upon the earth. If things went so bad for you that you lost everything that you had, your savings, your possessions, even your ability to work, it could happen you were so deep in debt that the property you used to make a living was foreclosed on. You would need a special kind of friend, a redeemer. The Hebrew word for redeemer refers to a relative who would buy back inherited property in order to keep it in the family. So a redeemer is maybe something like a co-signer on the loan. When you can't afford to pay, they pay for you. And so Job is confident, no matter how bad things get, he has a redeemer. Not just for his real estate, but for his life. Because his friends are suggesting to him that he is morally bankrupt, a hypocrite. He says, no, I'm still solvent. Even though I may be a poor, miserable sinner myself, I have a redeemer who is good as gold and is rich in mercy to take care of my debt. Job says at the last, he's going to stand on the earth. The word he uses for earth here literally means dust. When everything else crumbles to dust, he will still be standing. And Job's absolutely right. This one who comes at the last is Jesus. He is not just our best friend, he is our relative. He's our brother who was born to be one of us. Because we have failed to give God the obedience we owe, we are in debt to God. We are His debtors, and the wages of our sin is death. And so we die and we return to dust. But Jesus' perfect life has earned a reward that is such a return, He offers to us the free gift of life. By His death on the cross, He has paid for all of our penalties. He has set us free from the debtor's prison of hell. By His redemption, He preserves our eternal inheritance, and He keeps us in the family, restoring us to be children of God. And when all the dust settles, Jesus is still standing, because He has risen again. By His victorious resurrection, the enemies of death and the devil have been crushed into dust under His feet. Because He lives and reigns forever on the last day, He will come again, and He will stand on the earth as Lord of all. That is when, along with Job and everybody who's ever lived, we will see God at last for ourselves. Job says, "After my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart fails within me." When Jesus rose again on that first Easter, the Gospels tell us that even his best friends didn't believe it until they saw him with their own eyes. But Luke tells us the women remembered and believed his words. That is why we are here today. Even though we do not yet see him with our own eyes, we are here to hear again, to remember, and to believe his words. Job knew and believed, and so he was comforted in his troubles. Even though he realized he did not yet see God, he did not see what God was up to in his life, and he didn't understand what God was, his ways, or why he was suffering, but he did know this, that his Redeemer's living meant that he too would live again, real life in the flesh. Even after he had lost everything, even when his body had rotted away, this is the way that we are preserved. Not just living on in someone's memory, but being turned from dust back into real life. Paul wrote it to the Corinthians. We heard it this morning. All the dead will be raised. We say it in the words of the Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body. This is not good news for those who have refused to be God's friends. The last day means they can no longer deny the truth. They can no longer pretend that they are hiding themselves from God. But for us, it's the best news of all, because it means we will get to see his smiling face, who is our best friend forever. No longer will God need to shield us from being blinded by his glory. No longer would God come to us simply hidden in a manger, or hidden on a terrible cross, or hidden in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, or hidden in common written words. No longer will we see simply a dim reflection of him in creation, but we will see him face to face, and then we will know him fully as we are fully known. It's true, we can make nothing last forever. One day, like Job, we will lose everything, our words, everything we are, everything we do, everything we have will fade. But our Redeemer lives at the last for us. Jesus, who has paid all of our debts and brought us back and bought us back for God, has risen and stands and will be with us when everything turns to dust. And he will return to stand on the earth and raise us up also, so that we will at last see God for ourselves. And when we do, we will see how much he loves us, how much he has worked good in our lives, and the wonderful life that he has to give us eternally. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.